Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her hair's still brick, cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for Her Story number 26 is longtime feminist activist and lifelong women's history enthusiast, Janice Formicella. Janice has a master's in nonprofit management from New York University and currently runs a consultant business providing support to female entrepreneurs in the empowerment and healing professions. Janice is also the founder of the Feminist Guide, a women's history project and website designed to document and highlight the various locations around the U.S. where notable women have lived, worked, and are memorialized. To learn more about Janice and her work, you can visit her website at www.thefeministguide.com. Janice, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about this.
Great. Well, let's get started then. Which woman in history have you chosen to share with us today?
Today, I'm going to tell you about my favorite writer, Emily Dickinson, who I've had a deep fascination with most of my life.
Well, please tell us all a little bit about Emily Dickinson.
Well, first of all, Emily was born in 1830 in the very progressive area of Amherst, Massachusetts. Emily's parents were well-educated and well-connected in the local community. In fact, her father was a local politician, and she belonged to a very close-knit family. She had an older brother and a younger sister, and for their entire lives, they lived either together or near one another. And the relationship that she had with her siblings had a really big impact on her life. They were very involved with each other's lives. And I would say that there was probably a bit of dysfunction in the family, in that they really clinged to one another, but didn't always have each other's best interests at heart. And I'll just leave it at that. But she had her relationship with her family was very significant to her. Although Emily lived an unusual adult life, her childhood and teenage years were actually what one might expect from someone with her family's background. She attended prestigious schools as a girl and a teenager, and she really excelled in her studies. She enjoyed playing the piano. She was involved in her community and had friends. She attended church as a girl and had a lot of passionate and long-term friendships, especially with other girls. Early on, Emily developed a really strong interest in botany and a really spiritual connection with nature. One thing that I have learned through reading about her life is that besides being sort of a tree hugger, she was actually extremely knowledgeable about the local habitat where she lived. What many people do not realize is that she actually compiled two great collections in her lifetime. The first, of course, being her poetry, but the second is a collection of plants called an herbarium, which is a book of between 400 and 500 local specimens, which Emily herself went out and collected and identified and pressed and preserved and put into this book. And luckily it survived. The collection really shows Emily's deep respect and knowledge about the planet that she wrote about in hundreds of beautiful poems about the universe that nature lovers like myself really enjoy. Now, as most people are aware, as Emily reached adulthood, she lived a uniquely reclusive life, which has become the interest of people around the world and has really built Emily into a bit of a mysterious figure. There are several theories about what led Emily to become increasingly introverted. We do know that from early on, Emily didn't do very well with coping with disappointment and loss. I don't remember what age, but when she was a child, perhaps an adolescent, I believe, she lost a childhood friend. She was so devastated over this death that her parents actually sent her to stay with a relative in the hopes that she would recover from this because she was having such a hard time functioning after losing this friend. So we know that she had a natural or lifelong inability to deal with certain disappointments and loss. A lot of people have speculated, given some of the content in her poetry and correspondence, that she might have been extremely devastated over a failed love affair or relationship. And a lot of people, especially recently, have begun to believe that she simply suffered from a mental illness, what might be considered today to be clinical depression or a form of agoraphobia. I personally think that there's a lot of proof that Emily was naturally inclined toward privacy and that she was a lifelong introvert, and that a lot of the family dynamics helped to reinforce this behavior. And I think that over time, it was just reinforced to the point that it got as extreme as it did. Whatever the case, at around age 30, she found the desire to exclude herself from the outside world. The older she became, the less face-to-face interactions she had. And even in her own lifetime, she became a bit of a local legend or maybe a local novelty because of her behaviors. After all, her father was a local politician. Her family was well known, and she became really well known for her eccentric behavior. She continued to carry on very regular correspondence with friends and quite passionate correspondence. A lot of her friends reported after she achieved fame that they felt a bit smothered by her letters. Even though she didn't see people face to face, she was very involved with their lives. Her letters reflect that she was knowledgeable about local gossip and really played a role in things that were going on, even just through her letters. Emily did accept some visitors, but more and more she would actually have people over but speak to them either through a crack in the door or through a curtain. For whatever reason, seeing people face to face became more and more uncomfortable for her. Emily really loved children and cared about her nieces and nephews a lot. But even with the children, she communicated with them largely through letters and gifts. And her nieces and nephews really delighted in the fact that she would lower gifts and presents from a basket, in a basket down from her window to them. And even the children, she didn't like to see face to face. We know from many of her poems that she was actually quite aware of her decision to withdraw from society. In fact, one of my favorite poems, which I would like to read, discusses her preference for a select group of people and her confidence in her self-reliance. The soul selects her own society, then shuts the door on her divine majority, obtrude no more. Unmoved, she notes the chariots pausing at her low gate. Unmoved, an emperor is kneeling upon her mat. I've known her from an ample nation, choose one, then close the valves of her attention like stone. I think this poem really reflects that Emily was quite aware of what she was doing and confident in it also. Something that I really enjoy hearing about Emily is that it's believed that, especially in the last decade of her life, that she began to dress all in white. It's really impossible to know why she did this, but those who were around her reported that she was dressed all in white. In fact, her one remaining outfit is an all-white ensemble. And that was part of the myth about her, was that she was known as the woman that dressed in white and lived in her father's home and never came out. So when it comes to great minds and idiosyncrasies, she was certainly no exception. Her family and friends knew that she wrote poetry because she would often include them sort of as gifts in her letters. However, fame, of course, was not a thought of hers, and publication really wasn't something that she ever pursued. There were a handful of poems published locally in her lifetime, but in each case, it was really because somebody had really encouraged her to maybe submit a poem or had convinced her to let them submit, you know, on her behalf. So a lot of people have speculated that perhaps had somebody encouraged her more to continue to publish, that she might have. However, it's important to remember that during her lifetime, writers were seen really as major celebrities, which obviously would not have suited Emily very well. The privacy and seclusion that she really clung to was possibly the one factor that led her to be so creative. So her family was aware that she wrote, but nobody knew really how much she was writing. Emily died at the age of 55, and shortly after her death, her younger sister discovered a close to 1,800 poems that Emily had organized and kept up in her bedroom. And she actually took great pride in organizing this poetry that she really didn't share with very many people. Most of the poems were actually bound in handmade books that Emily herself sewed together and were organized quite neatly. It's really quite interesting that although she shared a very small amount, that they were so well organized, and she really took a lot of pride in her writing. Her family immediately had a desire to share this poetry with the world. She was deeply loved by her family, and they really wanted the world to know about the talent and to know about their sister. However, a bit of a family battle started to ensue between her brother and her brother's mistress and her sister, who had discovered the poetry, and her sister-in-law. It was 4 years later that her brother's mistress succeeded in having a partial collection of the poetry published. It was immediately recognized for the brilliant writing that it was. And Emily, you know, although she had lived a life where she really didn't see hardly any people, she became an instant celebrity. The themes of her poetry are pretty far-reaching. She, of course, wrote about poetry, but also about friendship. She had a lot of poems about mortality. She had poems about dreaming, ambition, reading, and many others. Since its first publication, her writing has remained popular, and she to this day is considered to be one of the greatest American writers of all time.
And what about Emily is inspiring to you, and why did you pick her for this project?
Well, when it really comes down to it, Emily was an amazing writer that I am just so in awe of. I'm really amazed at anybody who can wield a pen the way that she did. And I will still, you know, take a collection of her poetry with me sometimes to the beach or outside. And the fact that I'm just still so moved by her words is something that I'm just really amazed by. So it's her pure talent in and of itself is really huge to me. Besides her ability as a writer, however, what really inspires me about Emily is how she used her solitude. No one really knows the exact reason why she grew to be so introverted, but it is pretty clear that it was due to some type of emotional distress, whether it be some type of mental illness, like I mentioned, or having a hard time coping with the loss of loved ones. But I think at some point she accepted that it was her writing that comforted her the most, and that she would completely surrender to it, perhaps even just out of pure self-preservation. In fact, we know that it was during the earlier years of her switch to withdraw from the outer world that she was actually the most productive. I think that what she did with her seclusion is a lesson for anyone who has gone through a crisis in their lives. Whatever her sorrows were, her writing is proof that she refused to let them get the best of her. Instead, she sat in this tiny room with a little tiny writing table and created an entire universe. And this universe of her poetry is a blessing to the entire world and will continue to be so forever. And her writing is a real reminder to me personally about what can be accomplished in the midst of a personal crisis.
Now, what about a book? What do you recommend to listeners so they can start learning more about her?
I should say that reading historical biographies is a bit of a hobby of mine, and I really like the more dense, the better. One of my favorite biographies that I've ever read is actually called My Wars Are Laid Away in Books by Alfred Habiger. However, if you don't share my love of dense history books, I would encourage you to get any collection of her poetry. And if you can afford it, the herbarium that I mentioned earlier has actually been made into a book and is available. And that would, you know, I think be really cool to get your hands on.
Well, there you have it for Emily Dickinson. Janice, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.